blessing to be with you guys this morning. Especially now that I have to look in three directions. I like that a lot better. It's always a joy for me to be here, and I know for my family, and also we filled up all the back row this morning just about with our family. But we're grateful to be here with you guys to worship with you this morning. I'm going to tie my shoe, but I'm going to keep talking. In my times up here talking with you guys, we've been looking through the book of 1 John. And we're going to be in 1 John again. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm not sure what page it's on, but if you have my Bible, it's on the screen. So you can follow along with me if you like. I'm going to read this morning's passage, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the fun. So let's see if this thing will work with me this week. I'm just going to click.
That thing doesn't like me. I'm going to show lights.
Yeah, Dave, you can probably pray on it. Sorry. Yeah, where's Brandon? We'll use my TV.
No, you can use it.
Okay, is it working there? Okay, here we go. Third one, right? Okay. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him everything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for Your Word, and what it teaches us. God, I just pray a blessing on all those that are here this morning, God. I just pray that we could take those anxieties, stresses, fears, griefs, quarrels, any burdens that we have, God, that we're carrying this morning, that we would shed those, that we would give those to You. God, may our bodies, our hearts, our minds be relaxed and open enough to receive from You Your love, Your truth, and Your words this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage is interesting because it starts out with this phrase. Let us not love in words or speech, but let us love in actions and truth. Now, what I think this is interesting is that it says to love in action, and it groups with it love and truth. Now, when we think of the word truth, okay, I think we think of it in a way, sometimes I think it's different from the way that they did back in the ancient world when they were writing these things. And so, it's a little bit different from how we understand it. Because with us, with truth, we make a distinction between truth and reality. So truth is something that is a fact, and it's kind of an abstract idea. A lot of times it's something that we make sense of in our head. It's a fact and it's true. And so it's something that you can't really put your hands on all the time. Whereas if something is in reality, we place those on objects or people. or events. And so if I were to say to you that the Bible is the Word of God, you would say that that is a true statement. It wouldn't really make sense to say that the Bible is the Word of God and that's real. It is real, and it is true. But you can kind of see the distinction. This will make more sense here, Sandy. But let's say that I look at this chair, okay? And I say, is this chair real? It can't be real. We're in a church building. That's good. Yes, it is real, okay? But it wouldn't make sense to say, is this chair true? Okay, that's just not how we think. Okay, it's an object. It's something in space and time, and so it's real. So we make a difference between things that, if we can see and touch, if it's real, if we can't see, it's kind of a truth or something true. You can maybe see the distinction. But for John and the people of his time, truth and reality, there wasn't a split. It was all put together. If something is true, then it's real. There's no distinction. And so when he talked about truth, it was linked completely together with reality. So I think that their understanding is a little bit more of how we use the word truth. Say I were to tell you a story about a guy who got eaten by a big fish, and 3 days later, he got spit out on the seashore. You might ask, well, is that a true story? What you're getting at is, did it really happen? Was that real? Did it really happen? Is it something that I can see, taste, and touch, and feel? We want to know if it really happened in reality. And so this is how John understood the word and understood the world. If it is true, then it really happened. So when John says, "Let us love in truth," he's not talking about let us love in some type of abstract thought, or let us love in ways that are the right way to love. It was let us love in ways that are manifested in reality. Love in ways that can be seen and felt and touched and heard and tasted. And so this is the frame that John opens up the passage with. Let us love with action and truth. And this is the way love works. Love compels us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. Love causes us to act in certain ways, whether we want to or not sometimes. And I know that you've seen love acted out in your life as well as mine. And we've all been witness to this. But I just want to give a couple of examples. Jake turned two, yes, a couple, 3 months ago. And some of you might have known that, but he had a big old party, and Granddaddy built Jake an ark. Okay, and this actually was made out of some of the pews that are now missing. So we still have a piece of Echo Hills in our yard, so it'll last on forever. But we went to Logan's, and we came up with this idea that we're going to build Jake a playground, and it's going to be like an ark. It's going to be awesome. So I drew it up on a napkin with a crayon, and of course Dad, you know, took it and put it in AutoCAD and put every piece, you know, and put it all together and made this awesome thing. You know, he sent it to me, and it's like, I knew as soon as I saw on the paper that Dad was going to build it exactly as it was on a piece of paper, and he did. And so, love in action, okay? So the birthday party comes, and it's supposed to be outside, you know, so you know those pews are heavy. Most of you guys have moved them. So the idea was we're going to back this truck up into the backyard, and we're just going to pull it out, and we can put it all together. Well, we should have known better than to build an ark for Jake's party, because it literally flooded half of Lebanon on Jake's birthday. And so, but we're building an ark, so we're all fine. Jake, I don't know where I was, but Dad and Jim had to lug all those pews up and down these stairs at Maple Hill. Okay, now you know my brother, okay? And if he has to have the choice between carrying 100-pound pieces of wood up and down stairs for an hour and putting things together. Would you rather be doing that or yard sale? Okay. Jim? Parenting upstairs. But, so, but Jim, okay, he went against his natural nature to do this thing for Jake because he loves Jake. And so they put this thing together, and it went great, you know. And then after the party, we had to take the ark back down again and bring it down the stairs and take it to our house and put it up again. But unfortunately, arks are only built for floods. They're not built for windstorms. So we had a terrible storm in Lebanon, and this is what happened to Jake's ark. And, man, Jake woke up and he was like, The wind blew down my ark, you know. He just said, for weeks, you know, the wind blew down my ark. Every time we go outside, he'd say, the wind, it blew down. I know, Jake, I know. So, and then, of course, it happens, you know, the day before we leave for vacation. So, see? But, fortunately, Granddaddy came to the rescue, and he built the ark back. Okay, and he drove an hour both ways to build this ark back for Jake. You know, giving up a whole day just to be able, you know, to build that ark. And you say, well, why? Why did you do that? And that smile right there, we would rebuild that ark every day if we had to, just to see the smile on that face. And so, love in action. I was laughing about it this morning. You know, I'm 25. I was married when I was 21. You know, I'm a little bit more advanced in my life than most guys my age from where I am. And so, you know, I sometimes people are like, so what'd you do this weekend? You know, and you think about, well, what is a typical 25-year-old doing the weekend? Okay, Friday, I probably didn't go to bed. Think back in college, you know. Well, you know, I played Xbox or PlayStation until 5 in the morning, and then I slept till 2, and then we watched football. And then we, you know, went and played football, and then we did this, and we did that, and, you know, just do whatever you want, whenever, you know. And then I sit and I think about my life, and it's like, I used to play Xbox, and now I pick up and put things in the toy box, you know. Like, I used to stay up all night, now I just wish Jake would let us sleep through the night. You know? There's just so many things that, as a person, you know, if I had my choice, well, yes, I would probably, you know, like to go play, you know, pick up a game of basketball rather than, you know, pick up toys every night. But I think the funniest thing is Lisa and I were coming this morning, and Jake was, I don't know what he's doing in the back. He's talking, of course, but he was talking about something, and it was some Mickey Mouse show, Clubhouse show. And he was talking, it was from one of the episodes, and Lisa's like, you don't know what episode that's from? And I was like, I don't think so. And then she's like, well, it's the one where, you know, they have the sleepover party, and, you know, all this, she's going on, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And we were talking about this Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and I sit there thinking, I was like, we used to spend hours, you know, talking about Lost or catching up on, you know, The Office or some other show or something, and now our life is Mickey Mouse. You know, and you sit there and you think about people, you tell your life to people, you know, people that don't have kids or don't like their kids, and they're like, well, what? Why? That sounds awful. You haven't slept through the night in 2 years. You know, it's just like, and then you think about it, and I give it all up again every day just for that. Love and action. Now, this one, Lisa's not going to like it because I'm talking to her, but here lately, you know, our nights have consisted of watching Castle and rolling diapers. Now you may ask, well, why are you rolling diapers? And so we roll diapers, and then it's, hey, come here, I need your help with this. Put your finger here. Hey, what do you think of this? How does this look? And so I am now a consultant for, you know, making diaper cakes. And, you know, what's your opinion on this? What do you think of this? And, you know, and so, you know, that's just one thing that, you know, like rolling diapers or cake decorating is not high on my list of things that I would normally like to do. But I do it because I love her. I love seeing the joy that brings her. Now,
Okay, well, girls, don't ruin this for me, okay?
All right. I need a guy in here to tell me what this is from.
Preferably a married or dad that has a girlfriend.
That's what I like.
Blake, thank you. Okay. Twilight, okay. Now. All right. How many guys in here have read the Twilight series?
I've read every single one.
Okay. All right. Okay. I've read the entire Twilight series. Now, when I was single, you say, hey, JJ, on the list of things that you enjoy to do, you know, what's on that list? Things that would not be on that list is reading the Twilight series. But I do it, okay, because I love my wife, and I do all these things because we love those that are in our life, and we like to bring joy to them, and like to like the things that they like. It makes you a great spouse or a great dad or a great friend. You like things even though sometimes you may not be that good at it. But you do it because you love them. Anyway, love and action. Went way too long, and that's what I do. So, back to the text. Because John's focused, I think, on something a little different than that. But there's a theme that goes throughout the book of 1 John. And the focus is on the word no. No, no, no's, no, no. K-N-O-W. Not the no I told Jacob about. No. So, John is chiefly concerned with our knowing something, our knowing God. The Gospel of John focuses on believing. There's a lot of occurrences of people believing in Jesus, believing in Christ. But then, the book of 1 John is written to a more mature community, and so the focus has shifted from believing to knowing. We need to know God. Now, in order to understand what we're going to focus on for the rest of the time, I just want that to be in the back of our minds, that we're on a journey to knowing God. I'm going to read these verses. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now, there's good news here. Hey, John's writing a pastoral letter to a community that's going through a lot of division, that's having a lot of problems, that's having a lot of strife. And sometimes in that book, he's really harsh. He pulls out the scalpel and he's cutting them on things. He's saying, guys, you need to get this right. He's, you know, there's a lot of issues that you're wrong on. And then sometimes he, you know, brings them in just to give them a comforting hug, you know, to say that, you know, things are going to be okay. And this is one of those parts. Even when your heart condemns you, God is bigger than your heart. And some translations say, even when you feel guilty, God is bigger than that guilt. God doesn't come and pile more guilt on top of it to make you feel more guilty. God's not in the business of bringing guilt. So whether you feel guilty or not, God is still greater than that. And there's probably some of us here today who have done things that we regret. There might be some sin in our life that's just weighing us down, that's keeping us down, that we feel like we can't get over. It's crippling us. It's eating away at us. Maybe there's some of us who wish we could stop doing something, or maybe others who wish that we could do something, but we're not doing enough, and we feel guilty about that. But what John is saying is that if your heart condemns you, if your heart makes you feel guilty, don't do it. Because God is greater than that guilt, no matter how big it is. He doesn't condemn you. Paul says in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those that are Christ Jesus. God is not in the business of condemning His children, of guilting His children. So if you're feeling guilty, stop it. I know it's not easy. distinction between guilt and conviction, because I feel like for a long part of my life, this weighed me down in my walk with Christ. Conviction is a feeling that moves you to action with clarity. And then it goes away. So after you take the action, the conviction goes away. Conviction serves us very, very well. And it may be uncomfortable at first to feel that, to have that feeling, but once it moves you to the action, it's done its purpose and it leaves. Now guilt is not useful. Guilt is that thing that hovers over you and consumes you with all these dark, devastating thoughts, and it never leaves. It never moves you to do anything. It hovers and it clouds your heart with all these heavy, weighted down feelings, and it doesn't serve any purpose in your life. It immobilizes you. And there may be others in your life that that try to condemn you and try to guilt you more. But know that God doesn't join them in that. Or if you yourself are trying to guilt other people, God doesn't join you in that. God is not in the business of condemning His children, of guilting His children. Convicting, yes. Guilting, no. Okay, I got that out of this. So there's one other thing about this word condemn. John uses a word that's only used 3 times in the entire Bible. And it's a really unusual word. It's not the one that's used very often. Now, it's not the same word that Paul and others use in the Bible for condemn. But the one that John uses, we're all waiting for it, here it comes, your word. Okay, the word is kataginosko. Okay, kataginosko. This is the word that John uses to describe condemn in this situation. Now, the one that Paul uses is katakrino. Katakrino is different. It has a different meaning than the point that John is trying to make. So kataginosko is the word we're going to talk about tonight. Okay. So kataginosko is joining together of two Greek words. Okay, ginosko. Does anyone know what ginosko means? It's close to Spanish, maybe you sound it out. Does anyone know? Hey, no. Alright, good job. Thanks. Sean got my hand. Alright. So ginosko means no, kata means against. So this word literally means against knowing. Against knowing. Now, you might ask, why is this important? Well, because I'm talking about it. No, it's important because I think John is trying to bring something to their reader's attention. And so if you place the words into our English, you can kind of see the distinction that John's trying to make. If our hearts kataginosko us, we ginosko that God is greater than our hearts. And He ginoskos everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not kataginosko us, we have confidence before God. You can see when you read it that he's trying to contradict the two, right there side by side. He's trying to make a point. Now, looking at this word kataginosko, and using its literal meaning of being against knowing, I think it's also a safe place to be to say that it's confusion, kataginosko, against knowing, confusion, state of ignorance, not knowing. So it can be read like this. If our hearts confuse us, we know that God is greater than our hearts or our confusion, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not confuse us, we have confidence before God. Our hearts being confused. Does anyone know what it feels like to have your heart confused? Yes. There's something at work, some decision that you have to make. Maybe it's a new job, maybe it's to keep your job. Maybe it's something that you've seen your coworker do that you know that's not right. What do you do about it? Maybe it's some decision you have to make in a relationship in your life. Maybe it's friends that you have that you think are great, but others around you think are influencing you badly. What do you do about that? We've all had our hearts confused at one time or another. The heart becomes katagnosko. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know the answer. I don't know where to look. I don't know where to turn. I don't have a solution. The state of not knowing, the state of katagnosko can devastate us. But it leads us to look for answers because we just don't know. And so John says that when we feel the katagnosko in our heart, this confusion, this lack of peace, lack of clarity, that God is bigger than that confusion, however big it is. And He knows everything. And He wants us to know with Him. So if there's something that's unclear in your life, know that God knows. When I was a kid, my grandma had a swimming pool. And I just love, I'm a champion dog paddler. I cannot swim for anything. I don't like to go any deeper than I can stand, which is pretty deep. But I'm not a very good swimmer. But I love to be under the water. Now, is there anybody in here who likes to go under the water but doesn't like to open their eyes? So what do you wear the goggle mask? Got any goggle mask fans in here, anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, all right. So you put on this mask, right, so you can see underwater. Okay, so you're swimming under the water. Everything's going great. You can see fine. And then what happens? What starts to happen? It's foggy. It's clouded. Okay, and then you have to come up to the top, and then you put it in the water, and you put it back on. And then it seems like you got more moisture in there, so every time you come back, the time gets less and less and less. And so it keeps getting more fog and more fog, and you get more frustrated. Okay, and then you throw the goggles, but they're still on your face. You got your cool outline, right? But so it keeps getting fogged, okay? Now, I can't remember who it was that told me, but somebody older than me said, hey, if you'll spit in the goggles, in the inside of the goggles, and slush it around, it won't fog anymore. And I said, yeah, right. Yeah, I'll spit in my face. Yeah, that's a real good idea. So, but I tried it, and it worked. I spit in my goggles, and they stopped fogging. And now the funny part is that my nephew Caleb went to the beach, and he's a goggle fan, so they kept fogging. I said, Caleb, spit in the goggles. He was like, no way, JJ, how are you doing that? You know, and he's just, you know, I don't know if you met Caleb, but if you ever get on something he doesn't want to do, there's no way he's not going to do it. So I told Caleb, I said, Caleb, I promise, I'm not joking. If you spit in there, it'll work. And he's, no. So I swim off, and I look back, and I can see Caleb just running through his head. He's like, should I spit? And I'm kind of trying not to look, and he's trying to look to make sure I'm not looking. And I see him turn and spits in there. And it worked for him. It worked. But spitting in your goggles does not make it fog. It's an unnatural solution to a problem. It's an unexpected solution. And I think the heart is the same way. Because the human heart can easily be fogged. The condition of katagnosko is very familiar to the human heart. It's easy to get there. But John presents us with an unexpected solution. An unexpected way to keep our heart from fogging. He acknowledges that sometimes we just don't know. But we will know at some point. But when you don't know, here's his recommendation. He says, I'll go ahead and read from the top. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. So he says, do what God commands. And he goes on to say what that command is. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son and to love one another as he commanded us. So basically, do two things. Before you know, believe in Jesus and love one another. Believe and love. Now, in the Greek, these words have a slightly different conjugation, a slightly different tense, if you didn't take that class. So, these words have a slightly different tense to them, okay? So, first we're going to talk about believing. Okay, this is you. This is us believing together. Your church again, so you're still happy. But the word in Greek for believe is in the punctiliar tense. Punctiliar, right? There's your party word, right? And so people at your house say, this is a very punctiliar meal. I don't know. But try to use punctiliar in your next... but it's in the punctiliar tense. And all that is a big old fancy word to say that it's used for a period in time, a specific period in time, a one-time event, something that happens at a specific place with a beginning and an end. So that's believing, one-time event. Love is in the constant... No, it's in the continuous present tense, which means that it's loving, it's ongoing, it's never ending. It keeps going on and on and on. It's not a one-time thing. Now, of course, love is an action. So we're going to give this love his heart legs. Okay, it's a happy heart. Okay, but it's moving and it's ongoing. Believing and loving. I'm going to try to see if I can put the relationship between believing, loving, and knowing into something that can make sense for us. Because I think those words are all things that we deal with. We all, believe in Jesus. I don't think if you wouldn't be here this morning. We all love one another, but knowing God, knowing Jesus, doesn't seem to be an easy thing to do. So I want to see if I can put that in a way that maybe will make a little more sense. Dad, Jim, and I used to go camping a whole lot. We'd go on these trips out west, and we had a lot of fun doing all these things. But we get to the campsite. A lot of times we got there too late to build a fire, but if we built a fire, it was always, to see, what's the coolest way that we can make this fire work, okay? And in college, lived in Henderson, we didn't have anything else to do, so we'd go out and go camp somewhere and try to find building a fire as difficult as possible. I don't know, is there anybody on here that's a fire stoker that, you just can't sit at a fire, you've always got to be touching it or playing with it? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. We have a support group. We're gonna form it later today. So you have these guys at the fire who can't, they can't just sit there, they always got to be playing with it. Now I was going to see if Jim had one of these, but one of the guys had one of those rocks that you hit with your knife. It'll like shoot sparks. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. I was going to have one of those. I was afraid it might go up in flame and burn a building down. So I'll do that. But it throws these sparks. And the goal of it is that you're trying to throw these sparks to hit this little bitty piece of magnesium. Okay. And so once that spark hits that magnesium, the magnesium reacts and just it engulfs everything in fire. Okay. And so you're sitting there and you're throwing these sparks to this thing. Okay. So we would sit there and we would do this on Friday nights. This is good times on this. Okay? So about 25 to 50 hours of this, okay, somebody would hit the spark and it would engulf the wood and then you would feel like MacGyver or MacGruber, depending on how old you were. And so, you just had this huge sense of greatness that you started this fire. Now, the spark. The spark is belief. Spark is belief. You just need the spark to get the fire started. Let's try again. But once the fire started, you don't need the spark anymore. Now, if you're sitting out in the woods in the dark and you're relying on this, Garrett's loving it. If you're relying on this to cook your food or to give you light at night, you're going to be in trouble. And it's the same way if we go through this life wanting belief to sustain us and to fill us. We're in trouble if all we have and all we have and all we rely on is belief. Now, knowing God is the flame. And living out love is putting more wood on that flame. And so that's the relationship between believing and knowing and loving. But you need the spark. You have to have the spark to get the fire started. It gets you to knowing. But once you know, you don't need it. What you need then is love in an ongoing way. Now before you hit and you make that fire start, if all you have is believing but you don't have love, it's useless. A spark is no good if it doesn't have any wood to light. A belief in Jesus is no good if you don't have love to show to others. And I think this is a pit that a lot of us fall into. We want to believe in Jesus. We think we know that it's the right way to live. But it's not easy to get that fire started a lot of times. At least for me it was for a long time. And so you keep believing. You keep wanting to trust God. And you try to love people in the right ways at the right times. But if people don't accept it, sometimes you get down. And you're laying the wood, but the spark's not hitting the flame. And you can get discouraged. You can get hurt. And if all you've got is that belief, eventually you're either going to get tired of it, you're just going to walk away from it, or you're just going to drive yourself crazy sitting there trying to spark all the time. It's not working. That's why John says we have to believe and we have to love one another. You'll need the wood. You'll need the love to act out in this world. Now, if you want to get rid of the confusion in your life, if you ever want to know, then you're going to have to trust. You're going to have to trust in times when you don't want to trust. Trust and keep acting loving towards others. And in time, you'll begin to have clarity and know. And once you know, that flame, that love of God will give you warmth. And it will give you light to where you're not scared of the darkness anymore. And you won't be scared of the cold. You won't be scared of times when it seems like the world is against you. But you start with believing. And you love. But ultimately, you want to come to know Jesus. And it will change everything in your life. And it will bring gnosko, and it will drive away the kata gnosko. Alright, I've kind of been all over the place this morning, so let's summarize real fast. And then I'll hush. Number one, God doesn't guilt, so why do we? No more guilt. It's not useful. It's only there to cause more confusion and pain, and it doesn't move you to do anything. Conviction, yes. If it goes away, it's conviction. If it stays with you, it's guilt. God knows even when you don't. When you're in a place of uncertainty, He is not. But the important thing is that He wants you to know. But you need to just give it time. And lastly, until we know, make use of the spark. Trust until you know. And while you're waiting, keep adding logs. Keep acting out love until you know. Now let's pray. God, will you help us to have the courage to trust in your Son during times when our hearts are fogged and when they're clouded, God. God, I just pray that you open us to the possibility of truly knowing you and truly knowing your Son. God, give us clarity and wisdom to know how to act love out in this world, to be your hands and your feet, Father. Just give us your eyes to see what you see. Thank you for the gift of your love. Thank you for your Son, your Word. God, we thank you for this family here at Echo Hills. We just love you so much. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus that everybody said, amen. If you feel the need to lift anything up publicly this morning, we ask that you do that now.